and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you, birthday boy? Happy birthday to you.
Oh.
Happy birthday.
It's getting a bit weird now.
Do you know when Marilyn Monroe sung to, was it JFK?
I believe so.
This is that sort of moment, isn't it? Happy birthday, dear Ben.
That was far sort of more sexy and sort of desirable.
Do you want to do it sexy?
No. Be careful what you wish for. No.
There we go.
I'm sort of visualizing you sitting on my lap now with your legs crossed and just sort of tickling my chin, and I don't wish for it. I don't care for it at all.
And yet I'm picturing you being assassinated by a sniper. It's funny how that song evokes different feelings, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
You know, I'm thinking of JFK and what befell him, and you're thinking of me sitting on your lap.
Well, thank you for acknowledging my birthday, because I must say, and I don't want to throw too much shade your way, but I felt snubbed earlier in the month entirely.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Why?
I didn't want to bring it up, but I just thought it's, you know, when you have these little conflicts in a relationship.
Sort of any Valentine's Day.
No.
Good.
No.
Because just the previous sort of conversations has made me think about how you look at me.
No, but I feel like unless you get these things out in the open, they fester and they can spoil relationships.
Yes.
You completely didn't acknowledge National Ben Day.
Was there a National Ben Day?
There was.
Why is there a National Ben Day? I don't think there's a national trip. I'm looking up now if there's a
there
national
trip.
Is there a national... How many names have a national day? Does every day have a national day?
I haven't checked this. I did check my wife's name, and that doesn't exist, so phew,
right.
That's one less present I've got to buy. But yeah, March the 7th was National Ben Day.
What's it?
Oh, I've decided to let you off the hook because I did miss February the 3rd, which was National Trevor Day.
Oh, well, there you go. February the 3rd is National Trevor Day.
Yeah.
They don't make a big thing of that, do they?
You know, like, they don't.
You know, there's not the card adverts on the telly for that, is there?
And you know what? Only one person wished me a happy National Ben Day.
And who was that?
It was my auntie.
Your auntie?
Yeah, bless her. And I hadn't heard of this thing.
No.
And she said, well, admittedly, neither had I until I saw it on Facebook today. But she thought, I'll wish you a happy Ben Day anyway.
So, and what is the point of National Ben Day?
It says that it's dedicated to recognising and appreciating people with the name Ben. So, there isn't a point, essentially.
So, it's not named after anyone in particular. You know, it's not sort of Benjamin Franklin's birthday, and that's what's inspired it.
No, and I've just checked National Trevor Day.
Yeah.
And it says, people across the world celebrate National Trevor Day on February the 3rd.
Right, again, I'd like to know why that date.
I can tell you.
Oh, is it Trevor McDonald's birthday?
Oh, no, there's no reason or rhyme for the date itself that I can see.
All right.
But much like National Ben Day, it's a day dedicated to everyone named Trevor, celebrating their accomplishments and contributions.
Right.
So a belated happy Trevor Day for February the 3rd.
Thank
I'm sorry
you.
I missed it.
Well,
and I'll forgive you for missing mine.
Happy old Ben Day.
And I'm going to celebrate and recognise all your accomplishments and contributions.
Well, thank you. So anyway, you've got belated National Ben Day celebrations, birthday celebrations. It's quite a week for you, isn't it? And I hope that you have received in the post a little birthday package from me.
Yes.
You can take this either as a birthday present or a Ben Day present.
Let's link it, shall we? Let's say it's a joint Ben Day and birthday present.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you now, it's nothing very exciting, but it fulfills the first stage of a promise I made fairly recently to you.
Oh, dear. This sounds ominous. Do you want me to open it now?
Yes, please. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it's a vacuum-packed, what looks like a pair of socks, but much more excitingly than that, they are duck-themed socks.
Yes, I promised you a couple of weeks ago that from now on, birthdays and Christmas, you'll get duck-related items from me. And I thought I'd start with something practical. You know, at least socks are wearable you can use. So I didn't think I'd start the duck paraphernalia with duck tat.
Yeah.
But it will lead on to that, you know, going forward. Because, yeah, there's only so many duck-related practical items, isn't there?
No, they're very cute, and I look forward to wearing them. I will wear them with pride. But I do seem to remember when you said to me, I'll be getting you duck-related shit for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And I think I said, don't do that.
Yes, you did. You did say that. But I made that promise, and I don't go back on my word, despite your protestations.
Okay. Seeing as this is the first one, I'm very grateful, and I think they're great. And I'm absolutely going to wear them on my birthday.
I think there's two pairs. There should be two pairs in there.
There are indeed two pairs.
Yeah.
Both duck-related.
Yes. Do they have writing on them? I think they have writing on them.
It's hard to see. They've been vacuum-sealed.
Well, rip it open.
Okay.
Let's find out all the details. I did try to get you, because I mentioned it on the podcast where I made the lifelong vow to buy you duck shit, that I did try to get you a duck tea cosy. But what I wanted to get you was a tea cosy that looked like a duck.
Nice.
But I couldn't find that. All I could find was very twee twee cosies, for want of a better phrase, with ducks on them. And I thought that doesn't quite fulfill what I had in mind.
Well, the first one says, what the, and then a picture of a duck.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The second pair is a little less subtle on the pun and just says, what the duck.
There we go. Yeah, okay, what the duck.
But I'm very pleased with them. Thank you very much. That is a lovely, thoughtful birthday present.
So are you going to do anything exciting for your birthday?
I think we might be going away for a few days. And I'll be spending my time with the ducks.
There we go. I mean,
Some people go to Spain, Italy, Mallorca, you know, nice little holidays. Maybe even if you're super flush, America,
yeah,
Argentina, Brazil. I choose Eastbourne.
Almost walking distance from your house. Go to Eastbourne to look at some ducks.
Yeah. Heaven.
Why not? Why not? Well, I hope you have a great birthday, Ben. How old will you be?
I will be 37.
Oh, you are now reaching almost that sort of middle-aged point, aren't you? Do you still consider yourself part of the youth, or are you happy to shed that particular sort of ideal?
Absolutely not. No, I sent someone a text the other day, and they're a bit more hip than I am. Mm. And I even know that saying hip is very unhip.
You've got very 1960s, haven't you?
And I was basically trying to explain something which would be helpful for future reference.
Yeah.
And I got the text back with the words, say less, with a fist bump. And I thought, how rude. What do you mean, say less? Do you think I've been over-explaining? And then I thought, oh, no. That's just something the kids say today, isn't it? Say less.
As in, is it something the kids say?
Yeah, I don't quite.
Say
no, it is. Initially, I took offence, and then I remembered, oh, no, that's what the kids say these days. Say less, as in, I understand, no problem, got it, cool. They don't even say cool anymore. What do they say, lit or something? No, I'm an old man now, and I'm fine with it.
Good, good. It's good to embrace it, I think. You know, I mean, I think because I've got sort of 50 on the horizon, that feels unpleasant. When you're getting towards 40, you know, 40 is, that's a landmark, isn't it? But I don't know, you sort of, I accepted 40. 50, I don't think I'm going to accept 50 as openly as I did 40.
No, I'm not looking forward to 40, but I don't feel mentally any older than 20. And I do think it's true, I think I might have said this again last week even, but boys don't grow up, they just get older.
I think it's true, though, of everyone. You know, I've spoken to relatives over the years, older relatives, you know, by the time they're in their 80s, so they don't feel any different to when they did when you were 20. It's only just the physical side of things, that you know, the aches and pains that are the real, the signs of aging. But inside, you don't feel any different. And I still feel, I probably feel about 20. You know, in many ways, although I do feel that in other ways, as I've become older, the seriousness of life sometimes takes over. You don't have quite the same frivolous attitude as you do when you're younger. And I sort of am jealous of those older people who still hold on to that frivolous side, but I also sometimes see their behaviour and think, oh, just grow up.
I know. I think it's almost like you need to have an appointment to do something frivolous.
Yes.
Just to keep that going, because if you let it die, it will.
Yes.
So I think it's important to keep being silly. And almost say, I haven't been silly in a while, let's do something silly.
Let's do something silly. Things then you can't think of anything silly to do.
Well, I told you the most recent silly thing I did was try and covertly stash, again, not to bring it back to ducks, but
yes.
stash ducks all over my parents' house on Christmas Day.
That's right.
I do think it's important to try and maintain a little bit of deliberate silliness.
Okay.
By the way, I have ducks left over. And I'm sure in the next few months I will visit you at your house.
Mm.
So look forward to finding ducks everywhere.
Well, that really pissed me off.
I know.
Bringing ducks around my house. I don't like ducks. When I see them, all I think is à l'orange. Straight into the heart. No, I do like ducks. Of course, who doesn't like ducks?
Exactly.
I think people that don't like, not just ducks, but, you know, people who just don't like, you know, when people say, oh, I'm not a dog person. How can you not be a dog person?
If you, I swear to God, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're my immediate family member. If you tell me you don't like dogs, I don't like you.
Talking of that, did you see, you know, the thing a couple of weeks ago? We were only talking on the podcast a couple of weeks ago about influencers and how
God.
Offensive they are. Did you see the influencer and the wombat?
Is this a porno? No, tell me about the influencer and the wombat.
Well, it was some influencer who was in Australia and she took a baby wombat away from its mother. So the mother was going crazy and she showed it to the camera. Now, she has subsequently claimed that she was moving it out of the road. But then just move it. Don't film it. There's no need to take it away from its mother and then have the mother going ballistic because its baby's been taken away. And then she was complaining afterwards that the abuse she's been getting online, which is wrong, just as wrong, by the way. She's been getting death threats. I mean, that's a bit too far.
Death threats is too far. I've just remembered I have seen this and it got my blood boiling. I think I might have mentally blocked it out. But I have absolutely seen this and boiled my piss. And I even saw some Australian, I don't know who he was. I think he might have been some sort of important fella, politician maybe. And he gave the most Australian answer ever, which was firstly condemning it, as in don't fucking do that, mate. And then he basically said, try it again with a croc.
Yeah, exactly. Give that a go.
What an Australian answer. But no, and I agree with you, first and foremost, death threats, unacceptable. But I do think, do something stupid on the internet and ask for comments, you're going to get a kicking.
Yeah, just leave wildlife alone. Don't use that. If you want to be an influencer, there's other things you can do. Just leave wild animals alone. There's also a thing I saw. I know this is a massive change of subject, but it just reminded me of something I read only this morning. And I think it was on the back of this story. There are something like 600 cases of, in inverted commas, animal rescues on social media where the animal has purposely been put in a dangerous situation so that the influencer or the social media, whatever you call them, star, can go
I've got
and
a few
save
words.
The,
I've got a few four-letter yeah. words to call them, yeah.
Can go and save the animal on camera and make it look like they're the hero, but they've actually put the animal in that situation. I think there's about 600 cases of that. There's something very wrong with the world, isn't it? That's where social media needs to sort its fucking act out.
I absolutely don't doubt that. There are actual cases of people who have been sent to prison for 30 years for basically abusing their children into performing on camera so they look like they have a lovely, happy family vlog.
Mm.
And honestly, to God, prison sentences have been passed down these people. So the idea that they might put a badger in a precarious situation is sadly no surprise.
Wow.
It's depressing, but it's not surprising.
Yeah. Well, happy birthday, Ben.
Trev, as it is a very special week, we're all coming together as a community to celebrate my birthday.
Are we all coming together as the community?
Yeah, I thought so. Because I'm such an influencer, I'm feeling the love, you know. You're all sending me your birthday well wishes, and I'm very grateful. I'm very touched.
Nice. That's the sort of listener we have.
And I'm such a lovely influencer myself that I thought I'd give a little gift back.
Right.
Do you remember a little while ago I found us a find your own adventure sort of point and click game on the internet?
Yes.
Yeah, choose your own adventure. So you basically get given binary options, A or B. You choose the next step and you see how it goes.
Yeah.
Well, I thought using our beloved assistant, Giselle Petrie-Turner, I have tried to design a one-of-a-kind game that no one else in the world can play except us.
Oh, I mean, this feels special. If only I had some sort of fanfare.
Put it in the edit afterwards.
I can't be bothered.
So, there's going to be 10 questions. Now, the thing is, I've tested this theory, and Giselle, she sometimes forgets the rules. So I have...
Well, how can she... She's bloody AI. It's supposed to be intelligent.
I have had to sort of say to her on about question 16, wasn't this supposed to be over about 6 questions ago? Okay. And she said, oh, I'm sorry, I was getting a bit carried away. So I have lectured AI all morning on what this is supposed to be. So hopefully this pans out well. But if it goes wrong, that could be just as fun too.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, here's the scenario for Trev and Ben's adventure. Trev and Ben, two astronauts, are aboard their spaceship, heading to a malfunctioning space station to rescue a stranded crew. The mission sets smoothly, but soon things take a bizarre and darkly humorous turn.
Okay, let's start the game.
Question 1. Trev and Ben are aboard their spaceship, ready to dock at the malfunctioning space station. Suddenly, a strange alarm sounds, warning of an unidentified object approaching. A. Investigate the object. B. Ignore it and proceed with docking. What do they do?
Okay, I've got the benefit of the text in front of me here, Trev. And that final word, which I think was a little bit tricky to hear, was ignore it and proceed with docking.
Docking. Oh, okay, right. So we're in a spaceship. We're going to the stricken space station. Has Elon Musk sent us up? He's got us on board. He's SpaceX. He's trying to prove something to Jeff Bezos, I would imagine.
So our options are investigate the object, which is the unidentified
Oh, there's a strange object. I missed that.
Suddenly a strange alarm sounds, warning of an unidentified object approaching. Investigate or ignore it and proceed with docking.
Well, I think if there's an alarm, you can't... Basic astronaut training wouldn't allow you to just ignore an alarm.
I agree. I think we should probably be responsible and investigate why an alarm's going off and this thing is.
They choose to investigate the object. As they approach, it becomes clear. It's not space debris. It's a golden escape pod drifting aimlessly, and inside is none other than Donald Trump, wearing a space helmet decorated with rhinestones. Trump waves and mouths, "Help me, I'm tremendous in space." A, let him aboard. B, leave him floating. What do they do?
Well, now, no prizes for guessing what your suggestion is going to be here.
I'd like to know how he's got up there.
Now, that is true, but I don't know if it's just a little bit of texture or a little bit of information for the story, but that decorated helmet with rhinestones, that could come in clutch later on, couldn't it?
Well, it could do. I mean, what I suspect has happened on Earth is that Elon Musk has taken his opportunity to seize power over all the Earth and has jettisoned all leaders of all nations into space to remove them from the equation. That's what I'm imagining has happened. Even his good mate, Donald Trump, has faced the wrath of Elon Musk, and he's been Tesla'd into space.
He does. He might, you know, as much as you dislike the man, he might be an asset to us because
how would Donald Trump be an asset?
Well, he does say, I'm tremendous in space. Mm. So that's the first time
you've tried the the impression. And
and it's no better than yours.
I think it's even worse.
I'm tremendous. No, it's very camp, isn't it?
I'm tremendous in space.
Yeah, he's tremendous in space. He's got a helmet decorated with rhinestones.
Do we know the pattern of the jewels on the space helmet? Because I'm imagining it would make MSGA.
MSGA.
Make space great again.
Would be or MAGA. Make astronauts great again.
Already done. But Elon Musk.
So what do you want to do? Do you want to let him aboard or leave him floating?
Oh, fuck him.
I thought so.
They leave Trump floating in space. As they drift away, he yells, "You'll regret this. Space is my thing." Moments later, his pod explodes into glitter. Suddenly, their ship's AI glitches and demands, "One of you must sacrifice a toenail to reset the system." Trev rips off a toenail. Ben refuses and tries to hack the AI. What's their choice?
What is going on here?
Yeah, so...
Trump has exploded into glitter.
Yes. Our ship's AI is glitched and demands that one of you must sacrifice a toenail.
Right.
You have apparently... Oh, no, they're the options. Either A, you rip off a toenail immediately, or B, I refuse and try to hack the AI.
Well, what is a toenail going to achieve?
Well, it does say that our ship's AI glitched, so I'm assuming there is no benefit to ripping off a toenail.
No.
But... if that's what the AI wants, should we give it what it wants? Should you sacrifice a toenail for our survival?
Well, I'm willing to make that type of sacrifice, Ben. So take it off.
Really? You're going to sacrifice a toenail? That's incredibly altruistic of you.
Well, why not? To be honest, I've got horrible toenails. If I lose one, it's not going to make any difference.
Well, I've also got terrible hacking skills, so I think
I was going to say actually
they're both fairly futile.
I mean, again, I would assume there might have been some training before we were sent up into space for you to be able to hack the AI system, but frankly, I don't trust you enough to be able to do that. So yeah, I'll hack a toenail off.
Trev rips off his toenail with a heroic scream. The AI responds, "Thank you for your donation," and powers back on, but now it's speaking exclusively in Latin. The ship begins veering off course toward a black hole labeled "Do not enter. You will be spaghettified." Trust the AI's Latin instructions. B. Try to manually override and steer away. What do they do?
Wow.
Well,
could I just say that my heroic scream?
Can we hear a small sample of your heroic scream?
I'd imagine it would be something like, "Aah!" That sort of almost animalistic.
I also love "Do not enter, you will be spaghettified."
Spaghettified.
I'm putting that in my back pocket for the future.
Yeah. So what is it? So the fucking thing's now speaking Latin.
Now, you went to quite a posh school. Wow. I went to quite a religious school, but your posh school, I believe, taught Latin. Mine didn't.
Mm. Well, I mean, let's say our school pretended it was posh. but yes, I did do GCSE Latin, but I don't think that's going to be much use to us now because I remember very little of it. I remember Caecilius est in horto, which means Caecilius is in the garden. I don't know if that's going to help us much.
No. What's the Latin for fucked in space?
Fuckus in a spacus, I think is the... Sorry, it's spacem. Yeah. Fuck us inum spacem is so, get the declensions right.
our options are to trust the AI's Latin instructions or manually override and steer away. And I should point out, I don't think I made this clear at the beginning, losing is a very real option in this game.
Right.
We might not get to question 10.
Well... what do you think? Do we trust its Latin?
This is an AI-based game. And I know I shouldn't be thinking too deep about this. But I'm imagining that a game generated by AI would be quite pro-AI. So I imagine the positive thing to do as far as it's concerned would be to trust AI.
All right, let's trust AI then.
Oh, you do agree. If you disagree, that's absolutely fine. It's just a theory.
Trust us in them, AI-em.
Okay.
If my Latin teacher could hear me now, he'd be going, I mean, he used to go fucking mental. He was, let's say, on the verge of a nervous breakdown. In fact, I think he actually had one. And
sorry, I shouldn't laugh at that. That's the way you said it.
He would, well, I'll tell you what happened once. He, I mean, look, he's not going to hear this, but if he is listening, you were a very good form tutor, sir. But frightening and terrifying as a Latin tutor. He pulled a kid out by his hair once, like literally dragged him out by his hair. He didn't teach us for about 3 months after that. I've got a feeling he may have been removed from teaching duties. He was renowned for throwing things. I mean, I think he had an anger problem, frankly.
Really?
Yeah.
I can hardly say I'm surprised, because I'm sort of, I think from just this conversation, just this podcast alone, I'm now learning Latin. So if I want to tell someone to calm down, from what you told me, it would be calmus downum.
That's it. Well, downus, I think you find it.
Oh, sorry. I'm still learning. Give me a chance.
He would have made a brilliant Roman emperor, though. You know, that sort of unhinged rage. But you're a very good forward tutor, sir.
Shall we see where we've gone with this? Because we've made the decision to trust the ship's Latin.
Yes.
And not try and manually abort the impending black hole with the sign of being spaghettified.
Exactly.
Okay, let's see where that got us.
They trust the AI's Latin instructions. Unfortunately, none of them speak Latin. The AI blares Fiat Voluntas Tua and ejects Ben into space wearing only a sombrero and slippers. Ben is gone. Trev, now alone, receives a distress signal. Help us, signed, Albert Einstein. Follow the signal. B, ignore it and focus on mission.
Oh, shit, you're dead.
You killed me. That's what you've done. You've killed me.
Why are you wearing a fucking sombrero, you knobhead? I mean, I should have jettisoned you a long time ago, to be honest.
I have been ejected into deep space wearing nothing but a sombrero and slippers.
Yeah, which means you were naked for the entire mission up to this day, and I've been okay with that.
The AI also blared Fiat Voluntas Tua. Do you have any idea what that means?
No.
Can we find out what that means?
Try. I mean, if I'd known that this was going to happen, I would have dug out my Latin dictionary. I'd have had it to hand.
I didn't see the Latin lesson coming either, to be honest, but here we are.
Right, what was it? Fiat?
Fiat voluntas tua.
Means your will be done.
Oh, dear God. A bit fucking biblical. Okay.
Well, it's certainly meted out some biblical punishment to you, isn't it?
Yes, so me, my sombreros and my slippers and nothing else have been jettisoned off into space. I'm now out of the story, so thanks for that. So now I suppose it's only fair that you are the only person who makes the decisions now, because you're on your own. Negotiation of the answers is no more. These are now 100% your decisions.
I mean, I wonder if I've been planning to get you out all along. I mean, maybe I did fully understand the Latin. And I knew what was going to happen.
Maybe so. Maybe you've stabbed me in the back. Maybe there's a knife in my back as well as a sombrero and slippers.
Well, that would be very Mark Antony and Julius Caesar and Brutus, wouldn't it? You know? So, I wonder what the date of the journey was. Was it the 15th of March by any chance?
Trev is now alone. You receive a distress signal. Help us, signed Albert Einstein. Mm. You can either follow the signal or ignore it and focus on the mission. What does Trev do?
Well, I mean, if Albert Einstein is still alive and out in space, I've got to go and find Albert Einstein, surely.
So you're going to follow the signal?
Yeah, follow the signal. Go for it.
Trev follows the signal and finds a small glowing moon with Albert Einstein sitting on a lawn chair, sipping tea. Einstein says, "Time is a flat circle, Trev. You must choose. A, travel back in time to save Ben. B, ask Einstein for help completing the mission alone." What does Trev do?
Wow.
Now, this is interesting, because I have admitted defeat. The decisions are solely yours.
Yes.
But I am going to sulk if you have the chance to bring me back. But the decision is yours. I will respect it. I have no influence, but I'm telling you I'll sulk.
Well, a couple of things come to mind. One is, because at the moment, the view out of my capture window is your naked bits flapping about in space without any kind of gravitational force up on them.
And the sombrero.
Yeah, but you're not covering anything other than your head with a sombrero, which is disappointing. So if I go back in time to save you, there's got to be some clothing put on. That's the only stipulation I'm making, but, you know, that's for me to tell you if I decide to get you back into the capsule.
I can't guarantee that will happen. You might end up with a very angry, naked sombrero-wearing, slipper-wearing Ben back in your capsule, pissed off with your lack of Latin knowledge.
I don't know how you've survived out in the vacuum of space without any sort of space suit anyway. That's
because
the...
time is a flat circle. You can travel back in time, says Einstein.
Yeah, but that's got nothing to do with the physics of you surviving in the vacuum of space. That's a
no,
very
it does.
Different
you
thing.
You can travel back. It doesn't say you can retrieve Ben's corpse. It right. says you can travel back in time to prevent me getting jettisoned.
So I'm assuming that you are now actually dead then. So
yes, I think that's fairly obvious.
All right. No, I'm going to go back in time and save you, for God's sake. Of course,
no, you don't have to.
No, just do it.
Trev begs Einstein to send him back to save Ben. Einstein agrees, but warns there may be side effects. Suddenly, Trev wakes up as a sentient toaster, and Ben is beside him, now a kettle with eyes. Einstein's voice echoes, "You're together again, but your mission? Failed. Forever. Enjoy breakfast eternity. Game over. Toaster edition. Unique fail outcome."
What?
I mean, look, I know they talk about, you know, the butterfly effect if you mess with time, but becoming a toaster and a kettle, I don't know how that's happened.
Well, I'm actually quite pleased because the AI has at least followed my instructions to the T. And failure was always an option. Mm. However, I didn't see a sentient toaster and a kettle with eyes becoming our fate. But at least we are together.
We are together as kitchen appliances.
Now, for the sake of interest, would you like to try and go back a step and not save me and see if you can get a positive outcome? I can't guarantee where this thing's going
to
go.
Yeah, let's try it. Let's try it. So let's go back to that question. And I'm not going to go back and save you, Ben. You're dead to me, which is frankly no different to having you as a kettle. I don't know whether you'd be able to talk as a kettle anyway. I mean, it said I was a sentient toaster, which would suggest that I would have some sort of feeling, emotions, ability to communicate. It didn't say you were. You were just a kettle.
Okay, so you now want the instruction to complete the mission alone.
Well, yeah, I'll ask Einstein's... Was it Einstein's help to complete the mission?
Yes, ask Einstein for help to complete the mission alone, yes.
Trev asks Einstein for help completing the mission alone. Einstein nods, presses a glowing button, and mutters, "Godspeed, toastless one." Trev is teleported back to the ship, alone, but now armed with a gun that fires motivational quotes. The ship nears the malfunctioning space station. A, board the station armed with the quote gun. B, try to fix the station remotely using a sock puppet AI. Final decision, what does Trev do?
Final decision. Sorry, what was the ongoing obsession with toast?
I know.
Godspeed, toastless one.
Toastless one. Einstein wasn't renowned for doing stuff with toast, was he?
No, and you're armed with a gun that fires motivational quotes. But your options are to board the space station armed with the quote gun or try and fix the station remotely using, for no real reason, a sock puppet AI.
I'm going to go in with my inspirational weapon.
Trev boards the station, quote gun ready. Inside, he's ambushed by mutant space hamsters wearing the uniforms of the stranded crew. He fires the gun. Believe in yourself. The hamsters pause, then explode into confetti. Trev locates the mission log. All crew mutated. Mission? Pointless. He sighs, sets the station to self-destruct, and escapes. Trev drifts alone through space, victorious, but deeply traumatized. Mission complete. Unique win outcome, confetti hamster horror. You survived.
Well, I don't know what's going on here.
Well, if we're playing a video game, you did win.
I did
win.
You
survived.
Yeah.
And you unlocked the unusual victory, confetti hamster horror.
Confetti hamster horror.
We've turned Donald Trump into glitter and hamsters into horror, and I'm off in space with a sombrero and slippers.
I tell you what, though, the more I think about it, it's going to make a fucking good movie. Ben, carrying on the idea of two option questions.
Yeah.
A mate of mine sent me a thing this week because he knew that on the podcast we do fairly regularly would you rather questions.
Yeah.
And he said to me, these aren't would you rathers, but you might want to try these. So these are this or that questions.
Okay. Do any of them involve me being abandoned by my so-called friend in the abyss of space?
I don't think so, but we'll see what we can find out. As long as you're fully clothed, that's the only thing I ask.
I promise questions. Nothing.
So these are quite quick fire. Okay, so there'll just be two options, and let's see which ones we think are the the better options.
I think to make this more fun, we should come up with our answers before we reveal them to each other.
Okay. Silly hats or silly socks?
Well, sombreros and slippers, obviously.
Yeah, although I did give you some socks for your birthday. They're a bit silly.
Okay, I have my answer.
Yeah, I've got my answer. Go on, what's yours?
Socks.
I like a silly hat.
Really?
The thing about a hat is it's more visible, isn't it? A silly sock is just for yourself, isn't it?
No, you're absolutely wrong. I have all sorts of novelty socks which have been noticed and admired by many people.
Right.
The only time I wear a hat tends to be Christmas time when right. I'm trying to yes. Blackmail my people into giving me some tips by reminding them it's Christmas time.
I mean, I've got a sort of a small collection of silly hats that I only ever wear in the presence of certain friends, you know, just for a bit of fun. You know, I mean, I've got a fez.
Well, that's the problem, right? Because I'm going to proudly wear my duck socks out of the house. You're not going to go outside wearing a fez anytime soon.
No, no. And a fez isn't a silly hat, actually. A fez is a fashion item in certain parts of the world. So to call it a silly hat might actually be offensive.
Or racist.
Racist. So it's not a silly hat. I got a Deerstalker's hat that was from a Sherlock Holmes sort of dressing up kit. Is that a silly hat?
Yeah, because you're not going to pop to the Sainsbury's in it, are you?
No.
It's not going to happen.
I've got a beret, a proper French-type beret.
Now, some people might leave the house wearing that, but I don't think people would find it funny. I think they think you're a wanker.
Right, okay, here's another one. Robots or dinosaurs?
Robots.
Oh, really?
Sorry, I should have let you compound your answer first. But yeah, for me, I'm a big fan of, as we've just proved, AI, the technology.
Yeah.
I like tinkering with it, being silly with it. So for me, as awesome as dinosaurs were, they're no longer here. AI is here. Robots are here. Let's stick to the robots.
The only thing with a dinosaur is, I mean, obviously they would see us as prey and food. So we would become hunted. So, I mean, in some ways that would be good, perhaps a good thing for the planet. It would reduce the human race, and that wouldn't be a terrible thing, would it?
You could have gone a very different way with that. You could have said, we could harvest dinosaur meat to feed the third world. But instead, you thought, we'll harness the power of the dinosaurs to cleave off massive portions of the world's population.
Yeah. But then, you know, you could get to a point where we could then control the dinosaurs a little bit more. But with robots, who knows what the future may bring? They might be an undefeatable enemy at some point. Whereas the dinosaurs, we may be able to defeat the dinosaurs if they were to become too much of a menace. I mean, for me...
Hang on a minute. You want to bring the dinosaurs back just so you can kill them again? If they get out of hand.
Well, no, I think in some ways you've got to let nature take its course.
They're extinct.
Yeah, but if we brought them back and they were to take back the reign of the... What do you call it? Top of the food chain. You know, they would be the ones. And the human race was to die out entirely. Well.
You're quite the nihilist these days. This is what old age is doing to you.
Talking pets or talking babies?
I mean, I'd love a talking pet, wouldn't you?
I think in some way... I mean, I think that the words that would be used by both of those, a talking baby or a talking animal, would be very similar because their desires are pretty much the same. They want comfort, they want love, they want food. I mean,
that's a fair point.
Basically, it would almost be the same conversation. I think the only thing that you get from a pet that you wouldn't get from a baby talking would be an expression of love back from them.
Thing is, I don't need babies to talk because they will eventually grow to talk anyway. So I'm in no rush for that.
Yeah.
Whereas I think if you had a dog, all it would say to you would be, love you, food, please.
Yeah.
Love you. And I don't think you'd ever get sick of that.
Yeah, but I think what you would get sick of is all day going, bull, 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 bull.
Yeah, that's true.
Bull, 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 bull. Well, it's getting annoying now, isn't it? And I've only been doing it for about 30 seconds. The positive thing about having a baby that could talk, because I'm not a parent and you're not a parent, but I have been around when children have been in those sorts of situations where they won't calm down and they will cry and cry and cry, and it could go on for maybe hours. if they could talk, at least they could say, this is what I need. And you could get past that incessant crying where you don't know what is going to soothe them. But if they could say whatever it is they need, that would be a good thing.
See, I've always just assumed if a baby's crying and it won't sleep, you've burped it, you've fed it,
yeah,
you've made it comfortable,
yeah,
then if you're still crying, at this point, you're just being unreasonable. So I'm no longer going to talk to you.
Right. Not sure parenting is going to be a strong point for you if you choose to go down that road at any point. Or at least I think maybe some extended antenatal classes might be a good thing for you. So anyway, which would you choose? Then you're talking pet for you, right?
Talking dog all day long. Or a talking cat. I love cats too.
It just says talking pet. I mean, any pet. Goldfish, if they were to talk. I don't know really what you'd say to a goldfish, what sort of conversation you could have. But maybe goldfish are more intellectual. Maybe they're quite philosophical. You know, they've got a lot of thinking time, haven't they?
With the old six-second memory.
They might be able to say that's a fucking myth.
Well, let's hope so, because otherwise the conversation is going to be quite repetitive. Because they'll probably think, you never guess what I learned this morning, and tell you some boring fact, and then swim around the bowl and think, you never guess what I heard this morning. And then so it goes on all bloody day.
I think I don't believe with this 7-second memory thing. And I think a fish would say, you've misrepresented us for centuries over this 7-second. We've not forgotten that injustice.
I never really understood what scientific basis there was to make that assumption. That they,
I know, what test did they, what test did they carry out to come to that? I mean, I would say that I think I have caught the same fish within a few minutes before, which makes you think there might be something in it, where they just go, oh, is that a worm? They don't remember that just seconds ago they were yanked out with a hook through its lip.
I was once taken fishing and someone told me and I almost thought, why have you brought me here? Because they told me this quite harrowing fact, and I say fact with inverted commas all over it, that once you catch a fish and throw it back, it won't eat for days because it's traumatized and it doesn't trust anything anymore. And I thought, you're telling me this as I'm fishing.
Yeah.
Like, this is supposed to encourage me to want to fish? This is horrible.
Again, what basis has he got that information on?
Again, absolutely none, probably. I don't know, but this did not enhance my fishing experience.
Because that would go against the idea of the 6-second memory, wouldn't it?
It would.
That it's remembered the trauma.
Although I don't tend to go fishing for goldfish, to be fair.
Well, are we saying that different fish have different... I mean, the goldfish is a member of the carp family. Are we saying that a cod has a better memory than a goldfish? Are we basically the same that goldfish have a 7-second memory or 6 seconds, whatever it is, but other fish have better memories?
Well, whenever you hear the fact trotted out, it is always attributed to goldfish.
That's unfair on the goldfish, isn't it? We either say all fish have a 7-second memory, or is it just the goldfish? More research needs to be done. I don't think there's enough money going into the research of a fish's memories.
Yeah, there's nothing else important going on in the world right now, is there? We can dedicate a few quid to that.
Yeah, I mean, the government have just taken money away from disabled people, but, you know...
what about the fish, damn it?
What about the fish? Comedian in a serious film or serious actor in a comedy film?
Ooh.
It depends on the acting, doesn't it?
Brian Cranston, I wouldn't call him a comedian, but he was a great comedic actor in Malcolm in the Middle and then went on to play one of the most legendary villains of all time in Breaking Bad.
Yes.
So I've got no qualms with that at all.
Sometimes I find if there's a comedian in a serious film, it takes you a little while to believe it. And so therefore it does have an effect on the way you view the film. It might take a few minutes, depending on how good the performance. You know, you might see a comedic actor and you think, oh, they're going to be funny. And then they're not. But in your head, like the first time I saw Steve Coogan do a serious role, I couldn't get Alan Partridge out of my head for a few minutes.
I saw him play Jimmy Savile.
Now then.
Stop it. and it was hauntingly good. Really, really good. So I don't. And also Robin Williams in 1 Hour Photo. Incredibly good.
Yes.
I think I'm perfectly fine allowing comedic actors to play serious roles. That's my choice.
I think I'm going to be the same with you. I'll be on the same side as you there.
Nice.
Loud neighbours or nosy neighbours?
Oh, loud.
Loud.
Personally, you?
Well, see, noise is one of my biggest bugbears. But also nosy people. I mean, got to pick one, haven't I?
Would you find it... Okay, think of it this way. If you're sitting outside in your garden on a lovely hot summer's day, you've got a glass of cider to your right-hand side, you've got your sombrero on,
slippers on,
and your slippers on. You're enjoying the weather, you're getting your tan around the pale bits. Would you rather your next-door neighbour was inside making some sort of renovation, clattering around, hoovering, banging, sweeping, or would you prefer to look up from your lovely can of cider, just tilt your sombrero up, look over the fence to see a nosy pair of eyes staring at you?
Yeah.
Give me the noise all day.
See, at least with a nosy neighbour, you could hide from that, couldn't you?
But do you want to live a life where you have to hide?
Well, I think I could cope with that better than just constant noise. I think if it was constant noise, that would drive me. So I think I'm going to pick a nosy neighbour, actually.
Wow, okay.
Over noisy. I think noisy would do my head in more than nosy.
Well, I'm going to go with noisy instead of nosy.
Okay, right, let's do one more. Misunderstood after death or forgotten after death?
I know my answer.
Now then.
Stop it. I don't think he was misunderstood. I think the problem is he was understood too fucking well.
Yeah. People want to fucking forget him. Right, so, okay, what's yours?
I would rather be misunderstood.
Would you?
Yeah. I would rather people thought, when I go to my grave, you know that Trevor and Ben podcast was absolutely shit.
Yeah.
And for me to be misunderstood.
I don't think that's happening after death, mate. I think it's already quite a popular opinion.
So that they can think that, but I'll be misunderstood because this podcast is brilliant. It's the best podcast of all the podcasts. It's the hidden gem that someone's going to discover one day and we will skyrocket to the moon in our sombrero and slippers.
I mean, I suppose the thing about being misunderstood is that could give you eternal notoriety.
That's essentially what the question is. Would you rather be remembered or forgotten?
It depends on who you want to be remembered by, you know, because when you think about your family, you know, most people only have maybe two or three generations after you're gone who will actually remember you. Now, after that time, who's tending your grave? No one. They didn't know you. You're forgotten. That's it. You're gone, right? If you're misunderstood, it depends on what the, you know, imagine if they, you know, it's misunderstood that you were some sort of, I don't know, you were a thief.
This is my birthday podcast, and this is the second time I'm having to remind you you're being a complete nihilist again. We're now talking about the futility of life.
And also, like, I mean, this wasn't after death, but that thing when you're misunderstood and then you realise later on that you've been misunderstood. So when I worked somewhere once, right, I'll tell you, it was when I worked in the school, right? And it was around the time when I was, I decided I was going to leave. And I got talking to one of the teachers there, who I didn't know that well, but they said, well, you know, what are you going to go and do? And I said, well, I'm going to go back to doing radio work. And, you know, I think I might try and make radio documentaries. That didn't come to pass, but at the time, that was what I was thinking of doing. She said, oh, what kind of documentary? Anyway, we had this long conversation. And she said, what you need to do is you need to do something maybe a bit controversial. Do something a bit controversial that may really get your name out there. And I said, well, yeah, you know, I mean, maybe I could do something. And this was what I said. I said, maybe I could do something about the porn industry. Anyway, we had this conversation. There was never no intention of making this documentary. I then found out about 18 months later, she'd gone round telling people that I'd left the school to go and work in the porn industry. And I just thought, this is a teacher. This is someone who's training young minds, and she's fucking stupid. But that's how you can be misunderstood.
Yes, I suppose it. Yeah, I mean, my understanding of being misunderstood was that people would never appreciate my brilliance while I was alive. Yeah. But now you put it that way, there could be the misunderstanding that I'm a massive pervert or a porn addict in your case. It depends what you're going to be misunderstood for. Mm. That's quite important.
It is quite important, yeah. So,
because I suppose in some cases, forgotten is better than, oh yeah, that pervert. Yeah.
Exactly, yes. Well, there we we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Before we go, as always, a couple of recommendations for you. First of all, Ben, I'm going to recommend a good detective series.
Oh, you do like the detective stuff?
I do, and I've just binge-watched Series 6 of Unforgotten. Have you ever watched any of Unforgotten?
I haven't, no.
It's very good. It's very good. It's about cold cases.
And this isn't true crime. This is a fictionalised...
Drama.
Okay,
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, this isn't true crime. If you've never watched any of Unforgotten, I suggest you go back and watch it from the start, because there's not been a bad series. You know when your things go on, you sort of think, I hope this doesn't deteriorate in quality. It never has, in my opinion.
Good.
So that's all available on the ITV player, ITVX, I believe it's called.
I wish these services would stop changing their names.
Oh,
I
mean, they keep doing it. Channel 5 did the other day. They're no longer going to be My 5. They're not going to be My 5 anymore. I think they're just going to be called 5. Just pick a name.
It's exhausting, isn't it?
Pick a name and fucking stick with it. Or if you're going to change a name, don't make it stupid. Like the... like the channels like Dave and Drama, they've all got a U on the front now. U and Drama, and the letter U, not even the word. So it's terrible grammar for a start. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. Why are you doing that?
Yes, I completely agree. That is so annoying.
I don't know what it does, my editing. Just stop it. Pick a name. I mean, Dave... You and Dave, as it is now, has been through several incarnations over the years. It was UK Gold 2, then I think it became something else, and then it was Dave, and then it was you and Dave. So just pick a name, stick with it.
I couldn't agree more.
Talking of Dave, my other recommendation. Do you know the comedian Dave Allen?
I've definitely heard of him. I can't quite place him, but I've definitely heard of him.
Irish comedian who's no longer with us, but in the sort of 70s and 80s, he was big time. Just so, so good at telling stories. A brilliant storyteller. And BBC 4 recently showed one of his shows. It's just called Dave Allen. It's not stand-up because he sits down, but he's very relaxed. He just tells stories. I love the Irish storytelling vibe about him. And then sketches, and he does a lot about the church. There's a lot of his sketches are around the church.
I seem to have a memory of a show called Dave Allen at Large.
Yes, that was in the 70s, I think, Dave Allen at Large.
Oh, so I don't have a memory of it, I've just heard of it.
Yeah. I mean, you might have seen it, you know. And he sort of had I came to like him in the mid-90s when he had a show on BBC, and I was just really getting into my comedy then. And I laughed so much. He's one of my heroes because he brought me so much laughter during like GCSE times and that kind of era. You know, all that stress and angst and teenage... all that teenage angst, Ben! All that teenage angst! And Dave Allen brought lightness and fun and laughter to all that teenage angst.
I mean, yes, I'm not surprised I'm not all that familiar with him, because a quick Google search tells me he died 20 years ago.
But I think go and seek out Dave Allen's stuff. He's just brilliant.
Excellent. And where do you find him?
So that's on the BBC iPlayer.
Excellent.
So there we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime. We're at Trev and Ben on X or on Blue Sky. And we'll catch you again next week. So then stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.